2 years ago, Zimbabwe gained a place on the list of the top 10 worst places to work as a journalist due to government intimidation and violence, according to the Committee to Protect Journalists, a New York-based independent press freedom watchdog. President Robert Mugabe introduced draconian laws curtailing press freedoms after his contested re-election last year. The offices of independent newspapers have been bombed, journalists prosecuted, and some have been tortured in police custody. As a result, many independent media outlets have closed down. Hoping to fill the gap in the free flow of information is the Voice of America, the U.S. government-funded worldwide broadcast service, which has begun a half-hour radio show specifically for Zimbabweans in a bid to provide balanced world, regional, and local news. Catherine Drew compiled this report earlier this year on the new service.
Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 30 UTC, 7:30 p.m. in Zimbabwe, and you are listening to Studio 7, News for Zimbabwe, coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington.
Two Zimbabwean journalists anchor the half-hour show called Studio 7 from the VOA headquarters in downtown Washington, D.C.
Thank you for joining us live from Washington. I am Ray Choto.
And I'm Dumiake Mokalielie. Coming up on tonight's show, President Robert Mugabe speaks out against Britain and the United States.
Behind the scenes, four other producers, reporters, and editors make up the small team, which begins work before 7 o'clock in the morning to make sure the half-hour lunchtime show makes air. In Zimbabwe, it's 7:30 in the evening.
Later on in the program, we'll update you on world news and sports coming up on Studio 7.
Bring it up.
Page 4 there. Yeah, that's the thing for the closing thing for the discussion.
The time difference is just one of the challenges facing the team, which must also deal with bad telephone lines and slow internet communication with their stringers in Zimbabwe. And as co-host Dimiaki Mwakalele explains, many government officials with the ZANU-PF ruling party are not particularly enthusiastic to talk to the Voice of America.
A lot of times we're received with a lot of caution, which is understandable, I guess. You know, a lot of people have this preconceived notion of what VOA does. So it's very frustrating. In fact, I was just speaking to somebody from the Ministry of Information today, and I was trying to explain to him, this is the problem, you know, if there's breaking news and I'm trying to call you and you tell me to fax your request, deadline, you have to respect that. I can't wait for your opinion if that's the case. I have to go with who can speak there and then, and that's how I'm going to do it. But then it comes back to bite us, because then it looks as though we're not being objective. So it's a double-edged sword. It's very hard to try and reconcile, but we know we just have to do the best we can.
This is in contrast to the developed world, often gives incentives to farmers to grow the crop. For Studio 7, I'm Joshua Mambo in Harare.
The program has five or six stringers working from Zimbabwe, mainly in the capital, Harare. While some do not use their real names, the VOA believes the Zimbabwean government may be aware of them and says, as with all its stringers, it is concerned for their safety.
Still on the NAM summit, the opposition MDC has condemned the non-aligned movement for its support of President Mugabe. The MDC statement.
Someone who knows about the dangers of reporting in Zimbabwe is anchor Ray Choto. Formerly, he was a reporter for the Standard newspaper, an independent publication in Harare. He and his editor were arrested in January of 1999 and severely tortured after he reported that a group of military officers had tried to stage a coup. He refused to reveal his sources, and eventually the government dropped criminal charges against him. He says this stand for press freedom helps Studio 7 today.
When I was arrested, they tried to afflict pain on me by way of torturing to force me to reveal my sources. I refuse to reveal my sources. That stance really get a lot of backing from the international community, local journalists, and other media organizations. So my association with Studio 7 will actually make the station a credible one in Zimbabwe.
And this credibility issue is important. While the Voice of America charter states its mission is to provide balanced and accurate reporting, the service is funded by the U.S. government. The VOA provides about 100 hours a week of programming in seven languages to Africa, which is usually aimed at different regions. But the VOA does have a handful of country-specific projects in nations where the independent press face particular challenges, for example in Angola and Rwanda. Mr. Choto says critics of the service will realize its objective when they listen to the show.
People have got the right to judge what type of information that they are getting. They might say this is propaganda, But if they listen to that, obviously, by the end of the day, they will realize that the information that they're receiving is not propaganda. It's just genuine information, which is needed in the country. So the propaganda issue, I think it will fade away with time.
Gwen Dillard, who oversees the VOA's Africa services, say they do have an agenda.
The agenda is to give Zimbabweans credible, balanced, objective, disinterested news and information. The point of this project is not to bash the Zimbabwe government or to criticize Zimbabwe as a country. It's to provide Zimbabweans with the information that they need to make their choices about their country and their future.
Gwen Dillard admits that it's sometimes difficult for some of the Africa service staff, many of whom have come from areas of conflict, to be completely objective. Mr. Choto says it's something he's very aware of.
As a journalist, as a professional journalist, when I'm doing my work, I try to make sure that I sort of distance myself from whatever subject I'm dealing with. As a journalist, I see myself as a mirror, and a mirror is there for society to look at its both ugliness and beauty.
President Robert Mugabe launched a verbal attack on the U.S. on U.S. President George W. Bush.
And but his co-host, Dimiaki Mwakalele, who left Zimbabwe 11 years ago, says she does find maintaining journalist objectivity a challenge at times.
I'm aware of so much that's going on. I mean, I hear my family saying this, and I hear people saying that, and I'm reading that. And, you know, a nation of 12 million, there's some truth in there somewhere. So definitely I think, you know, like the role we have here, it's hard to sometimes keep a balance. But of course, even as we're being objective, we try to really show that, you know, it's not all dandy and it's important that issues must be addressed.
While the Zimbabwean ambassador to the United States has been interviewed on the show several times, he rejects the premise that there is any need for such a service, insisting there is a free flow of information in Zimbabwe with both a private and government-owned press. Ambassador Simbiveke Mubako says the real reason the service was introduced was to give the American government an outlet for its propaganda in his country. And he rejects the VOA's insistence it is editorially independent from its funder.
If you are owned by a government, you are there to put across the policies of that government. Within that kind of parameter, you may be allowed some latitude of objectivity. But every country has got the right on its own media. The United States does it. The British government has got the BBC. The Zimbabwe government has got its own media. So there's nothing wrong with that. But the only question is that one shouldn't claim that one is independent and completely objective. You can't be independent to the extent of differing from the policies of the government that pays for you.
The ambassador says he has not had time to listen to the show yet, which is available on the VOA's website. All of the Studio 7 staff are only too aware of the grim and seemingly intractable problems facing Zimbabwe, the current drought and famine, the violent land reform process which has brought food production to a standstill, alleged government corruption, and alleged intimidation of the opposition party, Movement for Democratic Change, and their supporters.
We don't want to be known as the VOA Grim Half Hour.
Gwen Dillard says the team tries to address these issues while at the same time not overwhelming the audience with depressing topics.
A lot of the issues that are affecting Zimbabwe are grim issues. We cover those issues, but I think about 50% of the program is what might be called pleasant listening that anyone would want to tune into just because it's enjoyable to hear. We do a lot of music. We do sports. We're going to begin to carry contests because people like to participate in contests.
We have been listening to Dorothy Masuka in her famous song titled Hapo Zamani. Later this week, we'll bring
Anchor Ray Choto says the program has got positive responses from listeners so far. He says many have written in to express pleasant surprise that the program is not critical of the Zimbabwean government or people. While it is a temporary project, the VOA hopes the program will continue for as long as it is useful to the Zimbabwean people. So far, audience figures are not yet available. Program producers say they hope to extend their reach into rural Zimbabwe, where support for the ZANU-PF government is traditionally strong and where the VOA says access to independent information is difficult. In a bid to help this process, the VOA will soon begin broadcasts in two other local languages, Shona and Ndebele. However, Ray Choto admits that even when these services are up and running, the VOA will still face great challenges just to reach the Zimbabwean people.
The penetration needs to be done in the rural communities, and unfortunately, it's not easy for everybody to have access to a radio. Also, the batteries, if they have the radios, batteries are quite expensive. The economy is just in tatters, and people cannot afford to go and buy batteries. They would rather prefer to go and buy food. So that's the biggest challenge we are likely to continue facing.
We'll be back tomorrow at 17 hours 30 UTC, 7:30 p.m. in Zimbabwe for another edition of Studio 7.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send an email to Studio 7.
The VOA says it hopes eventually to be broadcasting 3 hours of programming every day of the week, 1 hour in the 3 different language services. For Common Ground Radio, I'm Catherine Drew in Washington.